So I hear you saying, how is it that somebody who says that their main orientation is evolving their consciousness chooses to go to a psychological training school rather than go to where they think somebody who has awoken, who's in, let's say, at least a more refined state of consciousness than they are? So how come they're choosing that than to go what could be seen as their maximum potential? The first thing is, only the person themselves knows what their, let's say, sequence is, path. Only they know that. And to know that, they have to tune deeply into themselves unconditionally. Now that's the key word, you see, unconditionally. Because most people, whether they realize it or not, always look through conditions that says, this is what I want, and this is what I don't want. This is how I want to get there, and I want to get there my way, which is usually the most comfortable way. That's one thing. The second thing is, what could influence that? The person could say, well, what I'm about to study is my contribution to other people. It's support. So this is my giving back, which is known as a good thing. But what is very rare is for somebody to look unconditionally, totally unconditionally. What do I feel? What do I sense? What's deep down there? If I go down there, what's stirring? What's it saying? Now for me, it's always been, and I don't have a word, it's not obvious, it's not clear, but somehow there's been a sense of, yes, you could do this and this and this, and this looks like a good thing, and what you need to do is... So at a time when I was married, two young children, had the biggest growth center, the second growth center in the world, the biggest growth center outside of Esalen, a whole schedule of lecturing at universities, of groups, of all that. And then I hear of somebody in India who has something that I think is beyond not only where I am, but where I've seen anybody. I didn't know that. I heard that they have a meditation technique that I'd never heard of before that definitely seemed suitable for Western people, as the Eastern meditation generally is not strong enough. So I cancelled all the appointments, picked up and took off, went to India. What I imagined was I was going to pick up a meditation technique, meet somebody, pick something up and come back. But when I got there, it wasn't like that. The guru said, let everything go. Like Jesus said, and come, follow me. And that's what I did. I let everything go. He said, give all your money to your wife, change your clothes, stay here. And that's what I did. So how come I did that? Well, this person had a presence. They had something I'd never met in anybody. And remember, I'd met all the leading group leaders and spiritual leaders in the West. And this man was something else. Totally something else. I didn't know what it was, but I knew there was something. There was a presence. There was a depth. So I was going to say, so I did it. No, I didn't do it. I didn't resist it happening. And there it was. So what each person needs to do, as I keep saying, is to stop and sit on your own and listen, listen, listen. And you've got to listen very carefully, because not only was your intuition not developed at school and when you were young, It would actually suppressed. You were told to do what was the right thing to do, what was the moral thing to do, what was the religious thing to do, not what was true to you in that very moment. So your intuition has been crippled, grossly crippled. It's like a muscle you've laid up in bed for months. Your muscles atrophy. Your intuition is now buried very deeply, and you've got to listen very carefully, unconditionally. Now, I know I've said this before. When you pick up the message, it doesn't mean to say you've got to do it, but you need to pick up that message. Otherwise, it's nagging you all the time. It's contaminating everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. So your intuition, your maximum potential in each moment is not easily available. You've got to get more sensitive and feel it unconditionally. Don't even understand it. You might get an image you don't understand or a sound you don't understand. Don't understand it. Feel it, sense it, drop into it. What's it saying? And as I said, you don't have to follow what it says, but at least listen, because it's down there and it's contaminating every part of your life if you're not following. This is how I see it. This is my experience. Everybody is born with a sense of expansion, of growing, of movement. Everybody and everything. And if we don't follow that, that energy gets frustrated and it gets diverted. And as I see, that's what most illness is, what most depression is. It's healthy, natural, expanding energy that's being denied. Listen. Feel something, sense something, hear something. Where to be, what to do. But, says the mind, what about our safety and security and predictability? What about what other people do? What about other people say? What about the experts? Meet the experts. Meet them. Talk to them. Tune into them. Are they in bliss? Are they absolutely free? Are they a delight? Is there a twinkle in their eyes? Is there a lightness in their being? Are they a joy to be around? If not, what are you listening to? You're just listening to their neurosis. If you're going to listen to anybody's neurosis, you might as well listen to your own. Your next step. I've told this story many times. Doing a guided daydream with Roberto Assagioli, psychosynthesis. We had to go through various things to get to a cave, to find a wise man, to ask one significant question. My question was, what's my next step? Answer, this is it. This moment, this now, this is it. But to realize that, you've got to be here. To be here, you've got to untie all those strings that are tying you to this and that and the past and what you should do and you shouldn't do. You need to untie all those. But you see, when you untie all what we could call obligations or duties, when you untie it, something at first feels very unpleasant. And what's that? No identity. Who are you? You identify yourself. Unless you leave your father, mother, sisters, brethren, wives and children. Once you leave all those, who are you? You actually reference yourself through other people and your job and your ideas and your ambitions. Let all of those go and drop into this moment, untethered. Who are you? First, you might feel lost. And second, the thing that humans hate, helpless. And the fact is, you are lost and you are helpless. You are totally helpless. We're all helpless. Existence is vast, and it's going to do exactly what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, and how it wants to do it. Nothing we can do except be with it, because whatever existence does, whether we recognize it or not, it's for us. It's giving us what we need, what we need. And you keep asking for what you want, and existence will keep supporting you wanting, not getting. What do you need? What do you need? What's your next step in this very moment? To be here, to get up, to move, to make that call, to do that arrangement. What is this moment? And be with this moment, whatever it is. And then you will be in the flow of life. You will be so much in the flow of life. How that's been illustrated is, if you put your hand into a river and hold it still, you'll feel the river pushing one side of your hand. If you take your hand and go faster than the river, you'll feel pressure on the other side of the hand. Sitting in a boat, if you put your hand into the river and float at exactly the same speed as the river, you won't feel the river and you won't feel your hand, because you and the river are one. You and the flow of life are one, and that's your maximum potential. Listening, sensing, falling into, allowing whatever is inappropriate in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. Maximum potential. Is it bliss? You might get waves of bliss, but that's a contamination. There's something else that nobody's been able to describe. Some state, some sense of being. And one word could be freedom, but you see, freedom, when said to the mind, has its opposite. But there's no opposite to this freedom. It's absolute, utter freedom, because you realize you are that. You are everything, and everything is you. Now, I know that doesn't make sense to the mind, but in the state, you know exactly what that means. There is no separation. One. So the practical, what you're asking is, how does a person know what is their maximum potential? If they sign up for a course, how do they know that that course is their maximum potential, rather than going off and being in the presence of somebody that might be more aware than they are? Now, here's the thing you have to try and get. You don't know. The mind does not know. It only thinks it knows. You've got to drop deeper and deeper and deeper. And when you do, you might get a sense of, yes, this is my maximum potential. But then the mind comes in and says, ah, but what about? And then it starts to bring in the practical things. What about my relationship? What about the course? What about that I want? My father was an insurance agent. And he used to say to me, you have to take out an insurance for your pension. My brother was just telling me, when he went through my mother's papers, that he found an old insurance policy that paid a penny a week for an insurance. He would say, so you need to start your pension now. And I'd say, well, let's leave it till I start to work. You need to start your pension now. And I don't have a pension. And look how life is just supporting. And so there's a part that wants to be practical. And of course, it's trying to look after us. So say this person signs up for a course. Maybe that was their potential at that moment. But say, just after starting the course, a sudden realization. Follow the realization. Oh, but I can't because I paid the money, I've done this, I've done this, and that. You're stuck. Now you're in a backwater, a whirlpool. You're out of the flow of the river. You're just going round and round and round again. Once you get in the river, you never know where you're going. Yes, it's nice and smooth now, but who knows if there's going to be a rapids or a waterfall? Who knows? We don't know, but we want to know. We want to be safe. We want to be secure. We want to be predictable. So we go in the backwater. It's safe there. You just go round and round in this little side water of smelly water. The stream, where it's fresh and bright and clear, is unknown. Life is unknown. So once you've made a decision, sometimes it's the decision that is the opening. Not going through with it, just the fact that you say, I will, something opens up. And then you don't have to do it. And what this keeps coming down to is what I keep saying is you've got to stay in the moment now. Don't make a decision in the moment now and think that's forever. Nothing's forever. Now I've decided this. Is it still appropriate? Is it still appropriate? Is it still appropriate? And we don't know. But what people do is say, I've made this decision until death us do part. You're dead. You're already dead. You're already parted. You parted from yourself. You parted from your freedom. You parted from the joy of life. Because you've made a decision in this moment for circumstances that are going to occur later. You can only make a decision for this moment, in this moment, for this moment. So make your decision. And then see, and then see, and then see, and be ready to take no thought of tomorrow, to let go of this and that and everything, and keep living in the moment for the moment.